Welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Christina Warren, Senior Cloud Advocate. And this week, I am wearing a shirt courtesy of Cloudburst Brewing in Seattle. And Cloudburst was one of the breweries that we showed off in our Stuff to Do When You're in Town for Microsoft Build video series earlier in the spring. And they were really kind enough to let me keep this shirt. So it's awesome, and so is Cloudburst. Also, I need new shirt suggestions, so if you see anything particularly nerdy or, you know, vaporwave-ish, let me know. All right, enough of that. Let's get into this week's latest developer news. Okay, so first up, in some Microsoft Edge news, preview versions of the next version of Edge, which, as you may know, is based off of Chromium and is already available for testing for Mac and Windows 10, is now available for Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 8.1. And this is terrific news because one of the trade-offs with the old Microsoft Edge was that it only worked on Windows 10, which not every user, especially in the enterprise, has upgraded to using. And so the Edge team says that those on older versions of Windows will have largely the same experience as Windows 10 users, and that's going to include the forthcoming support for Internet Explorer mode for enterprise customers. Now, this is in beta right now. If you want to test it out for yourself, you can go to the Microsoft Edge Insider site if you're using Windows 7, 8, or 8.1. But I've also got a link in the description that'll get you there too. And you know, like I said, these are still in beta. These are some early builds, and so some features don't work, like dark mode and Azure Active Directory sign-in. But the team hopes to have those issues fixed soon, and I will link to the support website where you can get help if needed, as well as a blog post outlining what's available now. Next up, in some Azure news that I know will definitely make the lives of lots and lots of Azure admins easier, the Azure Shared Image Gallery is now generally available. And so this was a new feature that was announced at Microsoft Build, and the idea is to make it easier to manage, share, and globally distribute custom VM images in Azure. And actually, during Microsoft Ignite the Tour, I was talking with a customer who ran into problems when trying to deploy uploaded custom VM images across different regions in the same subscription, and the process was a pain to say the least. But fortunately, that's not the case anymore. And so the Shared Image Gallery works with Azure Active Directory, and it works across all regions and across subscriptions, so you can distribute custom images globally. And more details about how this works and how you can use this whenever you want to automate deployments are linked down below, and I've also got a link to the announcement page and the documentation. Really good stuff. All right, so while we are talking about VMs, I want to mention a new tip from the Azure Tips and Tricks blog. And this time it's about how to create a custom VM image, like what we were just talking about, but you can do it in Azure using Packer. And I've got a link down below that walks you through the whole process. If you haven't used Packer before, it's really cool. And speaking again of VMs, that is my awkward-ish segue to discuss the news that the Docker team announced this week about the future of Docker Desktop for Windows. So in past shows, you might remember me talking about WSL2, or the Windows Subsystem for Linux 2, which will be out later this year. And this is a really big overhaul of the existing WSL system, and it's going to offer better performance, and Microsoft will actually be shipping a version of the Linux kernel alongside Windows 10. It's really, really cool stuff. And the way this is working is that WSL2 will be running in a very lightweight VM. I'm oversimplifying how this works, but it's really cool. And in fact, one of the benefits of doing this approach is that you can have native Docker inside WSL2 rather than having to use the various bridges that exist now to connect what you're doing in WSL to Docker Desktop for Windows. Anyway, the Docker team has announced that it is working on a new version of the Docker Desktop that'll leverage WSL2, and that will be available in a public preview in July. And what's super exciting about this is that because WSL2 works on Windows 10 Home and Pro, Docker Desktop will as well. And in the past, you had to have Hyper-V support, which required Windows 10 Pro or Enterprise to use Docker Desktop. There are a lot more details about how this will work, and if you're interested, I highly encourage you to read the blog post that I've linked down below. And I'm super, super excited about this because it means that using Docker and Kubernetes and Windows in WSL2 is about to get even better. In some data center news, the first Microsoft Cloud regions in the Middle East are now available. And the data center regions for Azure and Office 365 are now available in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi, and Dubai. And I was lucky enough to be at Microsoft Ignite the Tour in Dubai earlier this year, and I really loved getting to know the Gulf developer community and the ops community, and this is gonna be great for anybody in that region or who does business in that region. And so I've got a link to more details down below. In some GitHub news, GitHub acquired a company called PullPanda, and this was a startup that created a more efficient code review workflow for GitHub. And so PullPanda has a number of different features like pull reminders, which will basically give you a notification in Slack when a collaborator needs you to do a code review. There's also support for pull analytics and pull assigner. And all of these features are now free and available in the GitHub Marketplace as the PullPanda application. And the plan is to eventually integrate those features into GitHub proper. I've got a link to the announcement blog and the PullPanda Marketplace app down below. In some security news, Azure Bastion is a new service now in public preview. And the idea behind Azure Bastion is that you can have basically private and fully managed RDP and SSH access to your Azure VM without having to rely on either using a VPN or a public IP address. And my colleague Thomas Maurer has a really great overview of how this works and why you would want to use this on his blog. And I've got a link to his tutorial, the announcement page, the docs showing off how this works. And for me, this is really exciting because it will mean that I can easily access Azure VMs without having to worry about networking and security policies, and that's always a really good thing. So that's really, really exciting. And speaking of Thomas Maurer, not only did he do a great job explaining and showing off how to use Bastion, but he also recently published a talk and a blog about how to use the Azure Cloud Shell in Visual Studio Code. And it's a great talk and a great demo, and I've linked to it down below. And that's a great segue into other videos that we have on Channel 9 this week. And so first up, we've got Rich Lander and Scott Hunter talking about .NET Core 3.0 over on On.NET. And over on Five Things, Burke is joined by Nina to talk about five things that you didn't know Python could do. And side note, if you use, if you type Python or Python 3 into the command line or PowerShell in the latest version of Windows 10, it takes you to the Microsoft Store where you can then install Python in like 2 seconds, and that's awesome. So that's just my side note there. And finally, on the Internet of Things show, Olivier is joined by Paul DiCarlo, who is one of the coolest guys I've ever met, to talk about Azure IoT Edge development using Azure DevOps. And now it's time for my pick of the week. So there's a company out there called Kano, and they are really cool, and they've been selling DIY computer kits for a few years now. And the kits are aimed at kids, but adults can learn a lot and play with them too. And basically, kids go through the process of assembling their computer from the ground up, putting all the components together, and then getting it running and using it to code and do other fun stuff. Well, they've got a new device that will be out in October, and it's called the Kano PC, and it's basically a tiny little DIY tablet PC complete with a touchscreen and a keyboard. And this time, Kano is partnered with Microsoft on this device, which means that it will run Windows 10 S edition, and it will come with apps like Minecraft. And the kit is $300, and I'm definitely planning on buying one, not just for myself, but I'm going to also get a few others for teachers and schools in the area who could benefit from this sort of thing. Because I know for me that even doing something as simple as installing a faster modem or extra RAM on my Pentium PC back when I was in the sixth grade went a really long way towards keeping me interested in computers and being one of the reasons why I learned to code. So I've got a link to Kano's website below if you're interested in learning more. And that does it for me this week. Let me know what your first real hardware experience was in the comments down below. Maybe you were playing with new machines, or maybe you have like Commodore 64 experience or something else, let me know. And if you like this episode, please give it a like on YouTube. That really helps. And go ahead and subscribe to Microsoft Developer for all your nerdy dev goodness. See you next time.